there's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Diana Schaub. Her new book is His Greatest Speeches, How Lincoln Moved the Nation. We're talking about three speeches given by Abraham Lincoln. We're not framing them as much as we can because there's only so much time, but it's important. Between 1863 and 1865 for the second inaugural, March, early March of 1865, there's been an election. Ballots, not bullets, vindicating the president's own vision from 1838. Most importantly, Diana, we know from the frame of this that Lincoln doubted he would be reelected as late as August of 1864. The war did not improve after the Gettysburg Address. It deepened. And there were reversals of fortune right up until the election day of 1864. There were people advocating peace, Democrats, peace Democrats. You talk about the Copperheads, who were not seen as secessionists, but were seen as opposed to Lincoln's prosecution of the war. He's reelected. It's early March, 1865. John Wilkes Booth is in the audience. We know this from a photograph we have today. So the irony here is Shakespearean. This is the peace speech. It is also the speech that you present to me as two parts, just like everything else. The second part is theology with a political interpretation. What is the first part? Does he mean to achieve, Professor?
Yeah, the first part, he, in a way, prepares the audience for the fact that he is not going to give a long policy address. I think there was a kind of expectation that Lincoln would have used the second inaugural first just to celebrate incipient victory. He, of course, does none of that. That's part of the humility that he is trying to model. And he says there's really not much occasion for speech right now. What he does do, though, is take the audience back to the same date 4 years ago, to 1861. So this is part of the beginning of his recapitulation of the war. What was it that caused the war to break out? And so he talks about the various parties to the war. So that is the really especially the second paragraph. And then in the third paragraph, he begins to look a little deeper and he looks into the actual cause of the war. And it is that exploration of the cause of the war that eventually brings him to the theological interpretation of the war.
Each of these speeches, three speeches, are dated in Lincoln's mind. The first speech was to the Constitution, 1787. The second speech, Gettysburg Address, was to the founding itself, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence. This speech is 250 years from 1865. Who was William Grimshaw? What did Lincoln make of him? How did he use Grimshaw's history of the early American colonies to come to that 250 years, Professor?
Yeah, William Grimshaw was a noted historian of the era. Lincoln encountered him as a young man and read his account of early history in North America. And Grimshaw had featured the date of the first arrival of slaves, African slaves, on the shores of North America. And Grimshaw had spoken of how horrible that moment was, what it meant for the future of the nation that would eventually come about on those North American shores. And Lincoln, I think, had been very impressed with that and had remembered that date. He knew that American slavery was of long existence. And in the second inaugural, he takes us back to that origin date of American slavery. He talks about the 250 years of the slaves' unrequited toil. So I read the speech actually as the original and better 1619 project. It is the first official reckoning with the with that date and really explaining the Civil War as God's punishment for that American slavery.
God is read into the second inaugural and the second half especially, but more than that, the Bible is read into it. The professor makes the point that Abraham Lincoln was steeped in Bible quotes. He could do it automatically. The four I've written down, Professor, Genesis 3:19, Matthew 7:1, Matthew 18:7, Psalms 19:9. That's a chronology. What is he telling us in that chronology?
Yeah, the first two quotes are really paired. He says that, you know, both sides in this war are invoking God in order to try to achieve victory. And then he says, well, it might seem strange that anybody would invoke God in defense of American slavery. So that is the reference to Genesis and God's punishment, where each person will labor for himself, get his bread from the sweat of his brow. Slavery, in a way, is an attempt to avoid that that punishment by shifting it off to someone else. But then immediately after that, Lincoln says, but let us judge not that we be not judged. So that's a New Testament reference to, you know, leave judgment to God and not to be so judgmental of one's fellows. So he pairs those two Bible verses against one another. Then the other two Bible references are actually quotes. So when he explains the war or puts forward the supposition that the war is God's punishment upon a sinning nation, he uses the Bible verse, you know, woe unto the man by whom the offense comes. So that is a direct quote. And then in the reparation sentence, where he says that God might continue to punish the nation until every drop of blood drawn with the lash is repaid by another drawn with the sword. He says that if God were to do that, if God were to demand blood for blood, we would still have to say that the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And that is another direct quotation from the Bible.
And his readers and his audience would know those quotes, would understand that he was building a nation's polity on the basis of the Bible.
Yes, I believe this would have been a Bible-drenched society. People would have been very aware that those were either allusions or direct quotations from the Bible. I do want to say that I think Lincoln is very careful in his use of religion not to cross a certain line. So he's not pushing us in the direction of theocracy or something like that. He's very careful to say, I put this forward as a hypothesis. The long course of the war, its terrible suffering, the fact that no one wanted the war. Lincoln says all of that leads me to believe that something else is at work here, that the Almighty has his own purposes. And then he engages in a kind of speculation about those purposes.
Final minute, Professor. Beg pardon, but the Reconstruction is in the second inaugural. Education and suffrage. Both right there for Louisiana, but that would have been Lincoln's program.
Yes, I think that's right. So in the final speech that he gives, which is a more policy speech, the speech that he gives just 5 days before his death, I think we get some very clear indications there of what his Reconstruction policy would have been. He would have been moving in the direction of racial egalitarianism. in the second inaugural, I think what he tries to do is prepare public opinion for those policies.
Professor Diana Schaub, the book is His Greatest Speeches, How Lincoln Moved the Nation, 1838, 1863, and 1865, weeks before his death. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
She's been thinking about this sleepover all week, but I think about her food allergies all the time. Fortunately, her doctor prescribes Xolair, omalizumab. It's proven to significantly reduce allergic reactions if a food allergy accident happens.
Xolair 150 milligrams is a prescription medication used to treat food allergy in people 1 year of age and older to reduce allergic reactions due to accidental exposure to one or more foods. While taking Xolair, you should continue to avoid all foods to which you are allergic. Don't use if you are allergic to Xolair. Xolair may cause a severe, life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis. Tell your doctor if you ever had anaphylaxis. Get help right away if you have trouble breathing or if you have swelling of your throat or tongue. Xolair should not be used for the emergency treatment of allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis. Xolair is for maintenance use to reduce allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, while avoiding food allergens. Serious side effects such as cancer, fever, muscle aches and rash, parasitic infection, or heart and circulation problems have been reported. Please see Xolair.com for full prescribing information. Ask an allergist about Xolair. This is an advertisement for Xolair paid for by Genentech and Novartis.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Love the night? Reach for Zen After Dark, a limited cocktail-inspired series for those who get up when the sun goes down. Try Zen's Mojito, Spiced Cider, and Espresso Martini nicotine pouches. Find them at select retailers. Available while supplies last. Zen After Dark. Bring on the night. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.